I don't want anything here to hinder me. I realize, though, that there's a lot to hinder me. And there's a lot to hinder you. I know that the enemy is out to hinder every one of us. And I thought as I listened to these songs, I said, no matter what happens, no matter the things that come, we'll be glad. I can't get the words exactly the way they sang them. But when we see the Lord and we see His face and we hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," I'm going to tell you, there's nothing that can compare to that. I haven't been there, but I'm looking for that. Dear ones, I don't want anything to hinder me. I certainly desire an interest in your prayers this evening. The Lord would help us to be able to bring out the burden that is on our heart, the message that the Lord has given us. I don't know what you're after this evening, but I'm going to tell you, I know what's after you. The enemy of our soul is after every one of us this evening. Dear ones, the enemy is out to try to devour every soul that he can. And as I looked and I watched the young people as they all gathered up here tonight, I didn't count them, did you? I don't know how many there were, but I want to ask you, how many of them are you willing to sacrifice? There's a bunch of them up here. Could we just let one or two go? I don't think we can we? But I have a fear this evening, not just for the young people, but for every one of us in here this evening. Because I have a fear that the enemy would come in and try to hinder you and I from making heaven. I don't know what all has happened in your life to bring you to the place that you're at spiritually this evening. I haven't followed your life, and I don't know all those things, but as the song said, and that there's things that happen along the way. And I don't know what has happened in your life to bring you to the place that you're at tonight spiritually, but I want you to know that I know someone that does. I know someone that knows exactly where you're at tonight, and they know why you're there. And more than anything else, I want you to know tonight, He cares. Dear ones, the Lord knows exactly where every one of us are at tonight spiritually. And He knows why we're there. He knows the things that you and I have faced in life that have molded us and shaped us into the individual that we are, that has caused you and I to react in the way that we have in the things that have come our way. Dear ones, the enemy is out, and he started before you were born, and he will continue until the time that you leave this life to plant traps and snares, and he'll do things to mold and shape and work with you to try to hinder you if he can. But dear ones, I want you to know that the Lord knows all about that. He knows where you're at tonight. And He cares. I know sometimes the enemy may try to convince you and I that the Lord doesn't care. When we're going through some of the heavy trials and burdens of life, sometimes we face things and we think, well, the Lord doesn't really care. But I want you to know tonight, He cares more about you than you care about yourself. You might find that hard to believe, but dear ones, the more you get to know God, you will find it to be true. The Lord cares about every one of us more than we care about ourselves. And He wants us to make heaven more than you want to make it yourself. I'd like for you to turn with me, if you will, to Luke, the 15th chapter. Look at a passage of Scripture here. These are all very familiar Scriptures. I don't have anything new to bring to you. It's the same message that has been from the very beginning. But I'd like to look at this. Jesus was speaking here, and He was talking to a group of people, kind of like we are here this evening. I don't know what their assembly was like. But He was talking to the group of people, and He told them a story, a parable, to try to illustrate the message that He was trying to convey to them. And I'd like to look at what He said in Luke, the 15th chapter, and starting here in the 4th verse. He said, "What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found the sheep which was lost." I would like for us, for just a little bit this evening to try to get this a picture of this scene in our minds. If you could take and look out on a field, just a big field, and you could picture this field full of sheep that was out there. And as these sheep were all out there in this field, there's a shepherd that's standing or sitting over here, and he's looking over all the sheep. He's watching them. And in your mind, can you see those sheep as they're there, and some of them no doubt are lying down, and some of them are walking about, and some of them are eating, and the little lambs are frolicking about and running here and there. And all the time, the shepherd is looking over them. He's watching him. And in my mind, I see the shepherd as he looks over there and he sees this one, and he says, that one's really doing good. It said they were in the wilderness here. And I think about him looking at him and thinking, that one's really doing good. And it's healthy and it's gaining weight and it's just prospering. And he looks over there and there's another one. Oh, this place must be a good place. I'll bring the sheep back here again because this is a place that they're feeding and they're doing well. And as he looks over him, he looks at that one over there and he sees this one. He said, oh, there's an old ewe. She's had several lambs. She's been a faithful ewe. And oh, she's just been such a wonderful old ewe. And yet I see maybe she's getting a little old. She's getting tired. She's getting weary. And I can see that in her steps. They're a little bit wobbly. I'm going to have to watch her. Because as I lead the sheep along, I don't want her to get to lagging behind, get tired, and the wolves get her. I see him watching those sheep. And I look at him, and as he looks across, and he spots one over there, and, well, there's one limping. There's something wrong. I need to check that. Maybe it stepped on a stone, or there's something that's bruised it, and I need to look at that. I need to do something there. And he looks on over, and he looks at those little lambs, and they're frolicking about, and I can just see this smile just light on his face. Oh, dear ones, have you watched as newborn babes have come into the church and you've seen the Lord save them and the Lord's blessing them, and you watch around, you see people and their smiles, those testimonies on Wednesday night or maybe even Sunday morning. You know, that's legal. We can do that. And they get up and they're just so happy and they're just thanking the Lord. And I look around, I see, oh, some of those sheep and the pastor and the shepherd over there. Oh, just a big old smile. Oh, I like to see that. You know, I in my mind, that's the scene that I get as I look at this. Well, I look at that and I think about this shepherd. It said there that when he looked out, as he looked over them, all of a sudden he noticed that there was one that was missing. There's one that was lost, and in my mind I can see him looking. Where's it at? No, that's not it. Where's it at? And he looks and it's not there at all. And it said, and he turned and he left all the rest behind and he went out and he searched until he found that sheep. Oh, dear ones, I don't know what you get from this story. But there's one thing that stands out to me in the story that Jesus told, and that is that the shepherd's love, his care, and his concern for the sheep was focused on an individual level. He was looking at each individual one of those sheep. I don't know how if you've ever taken and tried to count a herd of cows or sheep or even people that are just milling about and you count them all and there's a whole bunch of them. Do you know it's a difficult thing to do, isn't it? Because you count and there's 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, no, where did that went over there. Wait a minute. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and you may get to 50 and all of a sudden, I don't remember if I counted that one or not. Do you know when you get a big number like that and you're just looking at numbers, it's very easy to miss one or two and not even know that they're gone. But you know, that's not what I found in this story. The shepherd here wasn't looking at numbers. He looked at every one of those sheep and he knew them and he'd watched them day in and day out and he knew enough about them that he knew. It wasn't like number 99 was missing or number 100, but he knew that particular sheep wasn't there. And so he went looking for it. There was not a single one of those sheep that he was willing to just say, well, it's just gone somewhere. You know, that sheep that was missing, it didn't go unnoticed. It wasn't lost in the shuffle of things, as sometimes people happen to be. Things sometimes in our busy cares, and we get to looking, and sometimes it's easy to lose things in the shuffle when you're just trying to hurt a whole bunch of something. But you know, dear ones, I want you to know tonight, God's love, His care, and His concern for each one of us is focused on an individual level. The Lord knows where you're at tonight. The Lord knows where I'm at tonight, and He knows why I'm there. The Lord knows the things that you have faced as a child, as a teenager, as a young adult, all the way up through, all the way down to that feeble saint that can barely get through. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, the Lord sees everything that you and I face. And it's important for us to understand that tonight because He cares that much about us. The Lord is focused that much, and He wants you and I to be able to make heaven. When I look at this, Jesus, when He told the people there the story, and He told them, He said, about the shepherd and how that he left all the rest and went and searched until he found that sheep. I want you to know tonight what the Lord was actually doing was illustrating to the people His love for lost souls. Dear ones, the Lord loves souls so much that He will go the farthest mile. The Lord will go as far as He can go with you and I to save a soul. There's a line that He won't cross. There's a limit to how far He can go. But you know what that limit is? It's our will. He'll do everything within His power to convince you and I to serve Him. He'll go all the way, but He will not make you and I love Him. He will not make you and I obey Him, and He will not make you and I humble ourselves and follow Him. He will go over there and He'll call and He'll plead and He'll beg. And as we've heard stories of shepherds and how they'll take and even break the lambs, the little sheep or the lamb's leg so that it can't run off, you know, the Lord does that sometimes. He'll sometimes go that far with you and I to try to convince you and I of His love. But He will never make you and I follow Him. That's the limit of how far He goes. But Jesus was here. And when He told them that the shepherd left and He went out and searched until He found it, He didn't say, and you know, I'm so thankful tonight that He didn't say, He looked and didn't see it and He went back. Well, maybe it'll come back. No, that's not what the Lord did. He wanted them to know, I'll do whatever it takes. I'll do everything that I can to win your soul, but the choice is up to you. But I also want you to know tonight that if you're out there somewhere lost tonight, you're out there somewhere in the shadows, or you're out there somewhere and maybe not even hear it on a tape, and you're lost, I want you to know that the Lord is not out there searching for you. You might say, well, Brother Curtis, I thought you said He'd go as far as He could, and He will. But dear ones, He's not searching for you because He knows exactly where you're at. There's never a time that the Lord loses track of where you're at. He knows exactly where. It doesn't matter how far you've gone. It doesn't matter how entangled you are tonight. It doesn't matter how deep in sin you are. The Lord knows exactly where you are. And He cares. He cares. He knows why you're there and He cares. Jesus went on here. If you look on over here in this 8th verse, Jesus went on and He told them here about a woman that had 10 pieces of silver. And this woman, she lost one of those pieces of silver. And when she did, Jesus said that she lit a candle. She swept her house and she searched until she found it. You know, it sounds to me like this woman was serious about finding what she'd lost. And I find something in here that's very valuable. The steps that this woman took are very important for you and I to be able to take if we lose something spiritually. This woman, she took inventory of what she had on hand. Oh, dear ones, tonight, I want to encourage us. We need to do that. We need to do that very often. We need to not let very much time go in our spiritual experience, but where we begin to take inventory of what we have on hand. This woman looked to see what she had. And when she took inventory, she found that she had lost something that she once had. And I wonder tonight, if you and I would be honest with our own souls, and if we would take inventory of what we have on hand spiritually, how many would find that they've lost something that they once had? That love? That love that burns so deeply in our souls. When I got saved and I love the Lord and Oh, it was just something that I just couldn't hardly contain it. I just told the Lord often how much I loved Him. But you know, something happened. Time has a way of working and bringing things in that can cool that love. I wonder tonight if there's any of us that have lost that fervency of that love in our hearts. The joy. And I'm not talking about emotion. I'm not talking about when all the saints are together and we're singing and our heart is just about to bust. And it just, I'm talking about that joy that's down in your soul. That when the persecution's there, when people are talking about you and things are happening, there's something deep down within there. That little man that just keeps singing regardless, and the devil's trying to shut him up and all these things are happening, but he just down there jumping. He just can't be quiet. That joy that's down in your soul. That peace that passeth understanding. When the world's looking on and say, what do you mean? I don't understand how you can be. You can have that kind of happiness and joy when all these things are happening. When you lay down at night and things have been happening and you lay down, and there's a peace that, Lord, I'm so thankful. There's a peace in my soul. Oh, dear ones, I want to ask us tonight, is there anyone here that's lost a little bit of that peace? Those fruits of the Spirit that the Lord had just so bountifully seemed like bestowed upon you, of patience and long-suffering, are you finding that you're losing some of those things? What about the personal convictions that the Lord has given to you? When the Lord has come by and His love has been just seemed like bubbling in your soul, and He comes by and you look and He reveals Scripture after Scripture, and you're there, and it's just there's personal convictions that are strong, and there's things that not and I'm not talking about even things that are wrong, but there's things that the Lord begins to talk to you and saying, you know, I want you to just lay that aside because I want to have this closeness with you, and there's things that you wouldn't do for nothing because you find that it's something that would draw you away from the Lord. But as time goes by, those things can occur and you don't even hardly bother you anymore. Because something has been lost. The faith. Do you know all these things add together? That faith that was so strong that, you'd feel like, Lord, I'm willing to go to the stake with you. I'm willing to go no matter what happens. My faith is in God and I trust Him unquestionably. Lord, whatever it is, my job, my health, my life, my family, whatever it is, Lord, I give it all to Thee. Oh, dear ones, is our faith suffering tonight? Is there something that has happened that has caused, and I'm talking tonight about taking inventory, looking at what we've got on hand, can we say that our faith is as strong tonight as it's ever been? What about our testimony? That testimony when you were there and you couldn't wait to get to Wednesday night and share with the saints the things that the Lord has given you. Now, it's pretty difficult even to get to prayer meeting on Wednesday night. I made it Sunday morning. And I even made it Sunday night, but it's kind of hard to get there Wednesday night. And when I get there, you know, it's even harder to find something to say. It gets kind of quiet after a while, and everybody's looking around. Well, that one testified, and that one, they're probably thinking I should, and I can't think of anything to say. When once you just couldn't wait to get there and tell what the Lord had given you, don't let me discourage it. I know there's times that you go through places, and the Lord has to give us fresh inspiration. But I'm talking about something that has happened repeatedly over and over to the point that it's been so long since you testified that the saints are wondering if you still got the victory. Oh, dear ones, tonight, this is what I'm talking about when I'm talking about taking inventory. What this woman took, and she looked and she found that there was something that she had lost. There was something that she had lost. And she said, and Jesus said that she did something. Dear ones, tonight, I want to encourage you if you're here. If there's something in your experience with the Lord, if there's something in your spiritual experience as you take inventory that you found that you're short on, I want to encourage you to seek and to search after it with all your heart. Follow the steps that this woman did. You know what she said? Jesus said she lit a candle. What do you suppose she did that? Why do you take when you're looking for something and you go in a room and you flip the light switch on? Why don't you just go in there and just begin to feel around and look for it? If you're really wanting to find it, you flip that light switch or you take a flashlight because there's darkness. It's not as bright, and you begin to look and you're looking. I've taken during the daytime and it's daylight out and I've dropped something on the carpet and I couldn't see it, and I'd get a greater light and I'd shine it down there and look for that reflection. Dear ones, that's what the Lord was talking about. Tonight, if there's something that you've lost in your life and there's shadows and there's confusion and there's doubt, I want to encourage you to ask the Lord to come in to your heart. I want to encourage you to ask the Lord to shine His light upon you. Oh, dear ones, He said, I am the light of the world. When the Lord comes in and He shines His light, those things that you've lost, the Lord will begin to illuminate those things. And it said she swept her house. Why do you think she did that? Oh, dear ones, it's hard to find something when there's clutter and paper and everything laying all over the place. The Lord said she swept her house. And I want to encourage you tonight as you begin to call on the Lord and you begin to ask the Lord, Lord, show me, search me, O Lord. Try my heart, as David of old said. See, Lord, what it is that's here. As the Lord comes by in His faithfulness and He begins to shine His light on things in your life. Clutter. Things that are causing your mind and your thoughts and your time to be cluttered to where you've lost some of that real closeness with the Lord. I want to encourage you to do what this woman did. To take and clean house. As the Lord shows you this thing and that thing, I want to encourage you to just take and clean house. Yes, Lord. I'll get rid of that, Lord. I want this thing. This woman was willing to do whatever it took. And she cleaned house. And it said, and she searched diligently. Oh, dear ones, tonight, I can assure you, if you'll take the steps that Jesus outlined here, and you will search it with all of your heart, whatever it is you've lost, whatever you've come short on, I'm confident the Lord will shine His light on it and you'll find it. Because the Lord wants you and I to have it. Oh, dear ones, I see this. I look at what happened to this woman. She searched until she found it. That tells me she found what she was looking for. And I want to encourage you tonight to do that. Search until you find it. Because if you don't, if you begin to get to the place to where you become content with something less than what God has provided for you, I'm going to tell you, you will never be satisfied spiritually. If God has given you something in your experience and you lose it, you will never be satisfied spiritually until you get it back. The Lord gives you and I something. I look at this woman. Why do you suppose she didn't just look at that and say, I had 10 pieces, but now I've got 9. If I'd only had 6, I'd still have 3 more than what I had. So 9 pieces is better than 6. So why do you think she didn't just say, that's it? It's because she knew that she'd had 10. If she'd have never had 10 pieces, and all that she had been given was 6 pieces of silver, don't you know she would have just been happy there? And you know that's the way it is with people when they're coming to the light. When the Lord gives people light and understanding and they're just rejoicing, and you say, well, they're not measured up like so-and-so over here. It's because they're measured up to all that God has given to them. And they're happy and they'll be content there as long as they're measured to what God has. But when the Lord gives them 7 pieces, or 8 pieces, and they lose something, they're not going to be content with 6 anymore. Dear ones, that's the way it is. The Lord wants you and I to have everything that He's given to us. And I want you to know also, the Lord is going to take. And sometime, if we don't take inventory, the Lord one day is going to take inventory of what He's given to us. He's going to take inventory of the things that He has given to you and I. He's witnessed to our souls. And He's going to say, where's this? Where's this? And if you and I have let that slip and we've got to the place to where we just, well, I'm satisfied with what I've got. When we stand before the Lord, we're going to come up short. Oh, dear ones, tonight, I want to encourage you to not let the enemy rob from you the things that God has given you. Do you know what the enemy is trying to do? The enemy, as he comes into your life and mine and he causes one thing after another to happen, The enemy's purpose is to take and to slip in and steal one piece of silver at a time without you realizing what's happening until he gets enough pieces of silver that he feels like that he can convince you, I've only got 3 pieces. If I invite somebody over, there's not enough to that. It's not enough for my family. It's not satisfying for that. I set it there. I can never use it. I don't know what's happened to the rest of it. You know what the devil's doing? He'll slip just enough till he can convince you to throw the whole set out. And that's what he's wanting to do. Oh, dear ones, tonight I want to encourage you. Don't let him do that. Don't let the devil take and cause you. If all of you got left in your experience is a desire to go to heaven, I want to challenge you tonight. Don't throw it away. Don't let the devil take and come by and say, look, you just don't have all this and this and this anymore. I want to ask you, I want to encourage you tonight to fall upon your knees before the Lord. Lord, search my heart. Lord, I want that joy. I want that peace. I want the whole gamut of what you've given to me, Father. And I ask you to search me until I find it. Because that one piece is more valuable. It's too valuable to throw away. Oh, dear ones, when you get to the place to where you begin to feel like you're content, you get to a place, if you don't begin to search with it for all your heart, you know what the devil will do? The devil will begin to convince you. If he can get you to a place to where that you don't have all that God has for you, the devil will get you to a place that he'll cause you to begin to seek for satisfaction somewhere else. I don't have enough here. It's not satisfying my soul. I don't have enough here that's feeding my soul. And the devil's going to try to convince you to seek for satisfaction somewhere else. Despite all the things that God has provided for you and I, the devil will take and come in and cause you to begin to murmur, to complain, to find fault, to get to a place to where you're disillusioned, you're discouraged, you're disappointed, and you're dissatisfied. And he'll tell you, you need to go over here and look somewhere else. Oh, dear ones, tonight I want you to know that's the tactics of the enemy. I want you to look now. Jesus went on here in this 11th verse. I know these are familiar scriptures. In the 11th verse, Jesus went on and he told them about a man that had 2 sons. And this was the story of the prodigal son. And he said in this 11th verse, a certain man had 2 sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided into them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted the silver, threw it out. Wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. What do you suppose happened to this young man that caused him to decide to leave his father's house, where he had everything it seemed like that his heart desired, or that he needed, and more, and to end up in a place like this, where he was feeding swine, and not only feeding swine, but he was coveting. He was looking and desiring the food that was being fed to the swine. Dear ones, you and I would have to understand the culture in that day to recognize the depths that this young man went to, and that he had gone just about as far as he could go. I'm sure that if you live in a big city or you've been around one, you've probably seen homeless people digging in the trash can, looking for something to eat, trying to find that carton with a half of a sandwich or just a piece of meat or somebody's leftovers or maybe a half a can of pop that somebody left sitting there on the table, and you watch them and they come by and, oh, they look around. Some of them don't even look around. They just put it in the cart and they go on. They go out behind these restaurants and they dig in the garbage where the food that's been raked off all the plates of people's eating and dumped out there, and they go out there and they begin to dig out of there and take food. You say, that's gross. It is. It's terrible. But you know that's reality for some people? That's the depths that some people have gone to. You watch them as they get out there and they're digging in the cigarette urns and they're walking down the sidewalks and they're looking for those little stubs of cigarettes that they can just take and get just a few more puffs of that cigarette. Or they find some beer bottles or something that they can get just a few drops. Just the dregs that somebody else... You know, my family knows I'm pretty picky and it's hard to get me to drink after somebody else or eat after somebody. And I look at that thing, and it may mean more to me than it does to you, but I look at it, and that's pretty awful. That's a terrible place to be in. But dear ones, I'm going to tell you, that's the place that the devil has gotten many people. And I look at this. I look at the depths of sin that the enemy has taken people to. Dear ones, that's where the enemy wants to get you and I. If he can convince you and I to throw away the silver, so to speak, he'll take you and I farther and farther and farther. There was a while back there at home, there was a man that the police had shot and killed. He was running from a scene where they had been investigating a crime, and they tried to get him to stop. They hollered at him, and he just kept running, and they kept chasing him, and they chased him for a while until he dug in his pocket. Maybe he had a coat on, it may have been winter, I don't remember now. And he dug in his pocket, and they looked at him, and they thought he was pulling a gun, and so they shot and killed him. Only to find out later that it was just a homeless man that they had flushed out, kind of like you would a rabbit when you're out hunting. They were searching this area and he was there, and they flushed him out and he took off running, and they thought he was the one that had committed it. But he didn't have anything to do with it at all. This man, he was a homeless man, and I looked at it as I listened to the story. They began to try to research and find out where he came from, and they went and they began to try to find his family, and eventually they found his family living in another state. And the story was not too terribly different than this. He had a family that loved him, that cared for him. One day he just up and left. I don't know what happened, he just up and left. And they lost contact. And I look at it, those people were searching for this man. They loved him, they cared for him. And they wanted to be able to find out where he was at. But when they found out, it was too late. These people were there, and it was like this man here. I look at it in this 20th verse, and he said, "And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet way off, his father saw him, and he had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." Dear ones, this father was looking for this man. This father was like that shepherd, and he was looking out for that sheep. Where's he at? I'm not content to just give him up. But you know the difference in this man and the one that Jesus told about? Is unfortunately this man, like many others, never made it out of the pit of sin. He never made it out. His family was there and longing to help him, but he never made it out. I don't know. I don't know what he was after. I don't know what caused him to leave that place of safety that the Lord had provided for him, and to go out. As we heard, to go out where the wolves, where the dogs, where the whoremongers and the murderers and all those things that are out there to kill him. I don't know what caused him to do that. But dear ones, something happened that caused him to go out. And when he did, when he went out, he never made it back. He like many people, unfortunately, perished in the gutters of sin. You know, this spring, we were driving down the turnpike. We were actually coming here to Monarch. It was after the ice storm, and we were coming here to work. And as we were driving down the turnpike, my wife said, "Look at that cow out there with those coyotes." And I looked over across the field, and when I looked over there, I saw this pretty good-sized steer. And he was kind of going at a slow run across the field. Just kind of a lope like across the field. And in front of the steer there was a coyote. Not very far from him at all. And then not very far behind him, a little bit farther, was another coyote. And I watched as that steer was just kind of loping along. And every once in a while he'd lower his head. That coyote would be slow down in front of him, and he'd lower his head and act like he was going to butt it, and he was chasing it. And it looked like that steer was chasing that coyote, running him off. But as I watched, you notice what I seen? I watched and that coyote was there, and every little bit he would slow down. And he'd get to there to where that steer would start to butt him, and then he'd kind of act like he scared him off and he'd go a little farther. And that steer would start to slow down, that coyote slow down. And he'd do it. I began to watch that and I began to suspect something was happening. Well, it wasn't long and I noticed that coyote, it got up here to the end of this field here, and as it was coming along, and it went under the barbed wire fence. You know, it didn't take it long to realize that steer couldn't get under there, and that steer started to turn. And that coyote darted back under that fence, and he got right ahead of him again, and he was doing the same thing. He veered in a little different direction, and he went after him. He just kept, and that other one just kept behind him. I knew at that point what was happening. That steer may have thought that he was chasing those coyotes off, but dear ones, those coyotes were luring that steer away. Little by little, he was luring them away. I'd like to look at a scripture over here, 2 Corinthians. I'll quit here. You pray for us. 2 Corinthians 11th chapter. 2 Corinthians 11 and 3, the Apostle Paul said, "But I fear, lest by any means as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Dear ones, the enemy of our soul is very sly. And through his subtle tactics, he has taken and deceived many a soul to chase after something. Chase after something until he got them to a place where they were outside the safety that the Lord has provided for them. I don't know tonight what it is that the enemy is after for you and I. And I said to begin with, I don't know what you're after tonight, but I know what's after you. I've seen it. And dear ones, ever since I've seen that this spring, this has been going over in my mind over and over. And I begin to look at that, and it seems like the Lord has been talking to me more and more about the deceptive tactics that the enemy is using. I didn't get to see very much of what happened. We were traveling 75 mile an hour down the turnpike. And so this is a huge field out there, and I saw this as we came up and as I watched it and as it passed. So I just got to see just a window of time. So I didn't get to see what happened that caused that coyote, that cat steer to chase after that coyote to begin with. Perhaps that coyote got on the cow's territory. It got too close to the herd, and maybe there was a whole bunch of them started after it. I don't know. If so, then the rest of the herd had long since turned back to the herd. Because as I looked, I could see way across the field, and there were the cows, all of them way over there. And here, way on this side, was this lone steer loping along, chasing that coyote. I wonder different times after that if that coyote thought, that cat steer thought that the rest of the herd was just behind him. Still there, chasing him. Do you know the devil will get you and I if we're not careful? He may not be able to get us out enticed to follow after sin or the lust of the flesh or something else. But dear ones, I don't know what it is. But whatever it is that the devil is working on, he'll work through things to try to get you and I chasing the enemy if we can. It may not be chasing him for the things of the flesh, but he'll try to bring something along to you and I, the church, to get us chasing. And it may be that several chase him for a while. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, Lord help us. And the Lord showed me this through all of this. You better be very careful what you start chasing. You better be very careful what comes around, because as we heard last night, Goliath was there and he came and he began to taunt the people. I want to pull somebody out of there. Do you know what he was wanting to do? He wanted to pull them out of that, and he wanted to be one-on-one. You know that's exactly what those coyotes wanted? Dear ones, unless the Lord specifically, as we heard last night, gives you the power and the anointing and tells you to go, you better be very careful what you start chasing. There's spirits out there. There's powers out there. The dear ones, you and I will get after them. And we'll, if we're not careful, the spirit of pride will get in. And before you know it, it's our battle. It's not the Lord's battle. It's our battle. And now we can't turn it loose. We keep going and we keep going. Do you know the enemy has been just as successful in destroying precious souls through tactics like that, as He has in drawing them out there to the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. Many times the devil comes in and he causes something and we begin to get on the devil's territory. Oh, dear ones, this evening, my heart is heavy because I feel that the Lord gave us this to warn us. To warn us of something that the devil is trying. Oh, dear ones, the Apostle Paul said, I fear. The Apostle Paul was a pretty brave man. There wasn't a lot of things he was afraid of. He'd go right in there and face the lions or whatever it was that there when the Romans and all of them came in. There wasn't a whole lot that made him afraid. But dear ones, there was one thing that made him fear. And that was the subtle tactics of the enemy that would slip in and that would devour precious souls. Oh, dear ones, this evening, Lord, help us. Lord, help us. My burden this evening is, Lord, help us to be very, very, very careful. Whatever the devil has got for you and I, and I'm going to tell you, he's got something. It's going to be one thing or it's going to be another. But his purpose is to get you and I isolated. Pull us out, away from that place of safety that the Lord has. I don't know. I don't know what happened to that steer. We were gone. I just had a window of time to be able to see. I don't know if those coyotes got that steer out there and killed it. I know this. Night was approaching. And those coyotes had got that steer a long ways from the rest of the herd. And it was out there. And in my mind, as I thought about it, I could almost picture the rest of the pack just waiting over there on the other side of that other fence. Waiting in the weeds. Y'all get him over to here and we'll help you. This was a big steer, and no doubt he felt confident. I can handle these two little coyotes. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, when darkness settles in and those coyotes begin to attack, it's a whole different picture. And those coyotes, I don't know. As I drove by there, you know, that bothered me for a long way down the road. I kept thinking, oh, I wanted to honk the horn or do something to alert that steer. Look at what's happening here. But I was going the opposite direction. I was on this side of the turnpike and it's way over there. And there was nothing that I could do to help it. Dear ones, you know sometimes that's the way we feel spiritually. We look out and we see precious souls at the enemy. And you can see exactly what he's doing. He's leading them away. Little by little, step by step. And you feel helpless. You feel powerless. I looked at that steer and I thought, oh, what that farmer must... Oh, he's going to be so sad. Several hundred dollars that thing was worth. And he'd come out and find nothing but bones. Oh, dear ones, I want to tell you, a soul is much more valuable than any steer. A soul, there's no limit to its value. And I'm going to tell you, the shepherd is watching. And he'll do everything he can to call after you and I. But there's sometimes when our will is set, I'm going to go this way, it's like he's on the other side of the turnpike. There's nothing he can do. He's trying everything he can to tell you before it's too late. Here's the disaster that's ahead. In my mind, I pictured that steer as those coyotes attacked it and drug it down, little by little. Do you know it'd be a horrible death? Do you know the devil has got horrible deaths for people to die? And there's many of them that are dying it right now tonight. There's many souls. I listened to someone that was right among us, just not too long ago, gone out. They got involved in some things that was hard. And they were saying, I wish I could turn the clock back. I wish I could go back. Dear ones, when night falls, it's too late. That steer had the opportunity to turn back. Yes, it would have been humiliating. In my mind, as I looked at that steer, it would have been, and they might have nipped it. But you notice what I saw? There's something that stood out in my memory, and I'll never forget it. As I watched all this happen, and I looked way across the field, you know what I saw? There was a herd of cows. A lot of them had gone back to grazing and doing what they were doing. But you know what I saw? I saw here and here and here. I saw some cows, and their head was raised high, and they were looking. They were looking. They just kept their eyes on what was happening. Oh, dear ones, I don't know what you get from it, but it encouraged my heart. As I looked at that, and I thought, you know, the devil is trying to convince souls when he gets them that far away. Saints don't care anymore. Saints don't care. The Lord don't care. But you know what the Lord showed me? Yes, they do. Amen. The shepherd is watching, dear ones, and he's looking, and the saints are still watching. There's some faithful mothers and fathers, brothers and sisters in the Lord that are looking. They're looking, and you may be way out there. It's hard for them to focus. Night's falling, but they're looking. Will he turn back? If he'll just turn back and he'll start this way, some of us will go after him. He couldn't make it by himself, but there's some of us that go after him. Oh, dear ones, tonight, I want you to know tonight the Lord, He knows where you're at. He knows why you're there. He knows the things that have isolated you from wherever the Lord has for you to be. And He's watching. And He cares. And dear ones, I want you to know He is doing everything within His power. He's doing everything within His power to try to get you to come back to the fold. And if you're here tonight and you know, there's one thing I saw in that. He wasn't out of the field yet. He was a long ways, but he wasn't out of the field. Dear ones, tonight, you may not be out of the camp of the saints. You may not have gone so far that you separated yourself from the people of God, but if you lost a piece of silver, if there's something in your experience that you've lost, you're headed that direction. Because the coyotes are after you. The enemy is after your soul. And I want to encourage you tonight, if you just take and turn to the Lord, cry out to the Lord, Lord, have mercy upon me. Lord, you see, I want this love. Lord, you see, I want this experience with you. I want this power with you. I want this joy and this peace. Darkness is coming. Darkness is coming. And dear ones, you and I need to be in the place that God has for us, because that's the only safe place. As we heard, without are dogs. There's sorcerers. There's whoremongers. There's all these things that are out there that are waiting to devour you and your family, your loved ones. But the Lord, as that shepherd, is sitting there watching. He's looking at right where you're at, and He's saying, seek me with your whole heart, and I'll find you. Because I know where you're at. Lord, help us tonight. If there's someone here that the Lord has been knocking on your heart's door through this meeting, and He's revealed things, and you've lost something. Maybe your vision. Maybe that identity. Maybe there's some, whatever it is. What the Lord is saying, I know where you're at. I know where you're at tonight, and I'm here to try to help. Lord, thank you for your attention.